Okay, welcome back. Hope you had a great day today. As you know, there is a deluge of DVD documentaries on the market these days, more and more coming out all the time. What it is every man's chance to make a statement, do some research, and present something meaningful. Some of them are good, some of them are okay, some of them are magnificent. I've got one of the magnificent ones on my left hand right now. It is called Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, subtitled The New Atlantis. This is an amazing production. Executive producer David Bay, he is my guest tonight. Let me read from the back of this to give you an idea of what this particular volume contains, and we'll talk to David about this. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings unfolds the fascinating history behind the founding of America and exposes the esoteric underbelly of its design. Why is Washington, D.C. built on the 77th meridian? And are the Revolutionary War cities really built in perfect alignment with Stonehenge? Follow the journey of secret societies from England to the New World and learn of their ancient hope of establishing a democratic commonwealth that would one day extend to all nations. In the 16th century, Sir Francis Bacon was at the helm of such societies as the leader of the Rosicrucians and the first Grand Master of modern Freemasonry. As such, he is considered by some to be the true founder of America. For centuries, controversy has surrounded this man who is said to be the illegitimate son of Queen Elizabeth I and the real author behind the Shakespeare plays. When Bacon penned his classic work, The New Atlantis, he outlined his vision for the perfect society, a democratic commonwealth governed by scientific achievement. How were the founding fathers of this country impacted by Bacon's plan, and is America being driven by this vision today? Well, it's being driven by something. I'm not sure if it's this vision, but let's find out what David Bay has to say about this. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I know a little bit about the symbology, and in this documentary, among other things, the viewer will learn the just incredible secrets of the esoteric traditions hidden within the manifold layers of the signs and symbols in our nation's infrastructure. And I remember years and years ago, it has to be 10 or 12 years ago now when I first started this program, the great Jordan Maxwell, who in my book pioneered this issue of really researching and digging into these symbols, came on and just knocked me over. And since then, of course, others have picked up Jordan's work, others have done their own work, and you have done something unique here. You've gone back to the very beginnings of this country, whatever it is today. It was once a magnificent experiment, and put together a documentary. Well, how's the documentary doing?
It is doing very well. It's wherever we have placed it at retail, it's just selling like hotcakes. I mean, because of the Da Vinci Code, because of the National Treasure,
right.
Interest in founding fathers, their symbols, their ciphers, their hidden secrets, the all-seeing eye and the triangle, it just exploded. And we couldn't have come out with this documentary at a better time.
Oh, you couldn't, indeed. The all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid, it'd be pretty tough for that eye to wink at you, wouldn't it? Nothing to play against, you see?
There you go.
tell our listeners, just for the hell of it, what does the all-seeing eye signify? And then you've all seen it sitting on top of the currency, or what used to be currency.
The all-seeing eye in the occult tradition is the eye of providence. It's a divine eye of providence looking down upon mankind. In the back of the $1 bill, that all-seeing eye is hovering over an unfinished pyramid. This unfinished pyramid is the great work of producing a global government, economy, and religion in the world, which is yet to be unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of the $1 bill.
Yet to be finished.
Yeah. It has yet to be finished, right. When, on the bottom tier of that of the pyramid in the emblem on the back of the dollar bill,
uh-huh,
are Roman numerals which equal 1776. We're talking about the founding of America. Some say that it may refer to Adam Vissoff's founding of the Masters of the Illuminati on May 1,
right.
But it's definitely 1776 is when the final stages, according to this view, of this great work really began.
What got you interested in all this?
Well, I've been a historian by trade. I mean, by interest. I loved history when I was in junior high and high school. History was one of my majors in college. I've always loved history, and then I became interested in esoteric history because I believed the debate, the national debate over whether America, what kind of a heritage America has is I really began to realize it was a two-sided coin. You know, we hear so much that America had a Christian heritage founded, you know, on Christian principles, Christian founding fathers, and that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is this esoteric vision that Sir Francis Bacon and Queen Elizabeth and her astrologer John Dee put together starting in the early 1580s, and was almost perfectly fulfilled by our founding fathers, led by Benjamin Franklin.
He was the kingpin, wasn't he?
He was the kingpin. He began to go back to London periodically, starting in 1758. And he began to meet with British Masonic leaders who were in high levels of government. You know, primarily Sir Francis Dashwood, who's a prominent member of the Parliament at that time. Also, he was a member of the Hellfire Club, which is a gentleman's club. I mean, it was the real gentleman's club.
The Hellfire Club.
The Hellfire Club.
I haven't seen many chapters of that around lately.
Well, you know, this whole era of history has been largely been written out of our textbooks. I mean, 100 years ago.
I love history too, but I've never heard of the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, you have to dig for it, man. You have to really dig for it, and dig we did. And we went. You know, I sent a film crew to London and Scotland for a week, and we uncovered some really amazing things, and some of the, you know, or many of the amazing scenes we have in this documentary, you know, came as a result of that crew going there. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I wanted to show what the true history of America was, what the founding fathers really had in mind. And while they felt it necessary to espouse some Christian principles along the way, they were really firmly in support of Bacon's esoteric plan. And President Bush gave us a great boost because we were working on this, I was working on a project in terms of research.
How did President Bush give a boost to anyone for anything except Halliburton and the other globalist cartels?
I tell you, this is all said and done. I ought to thank him for his contribution to this video. He said in his second inaugural address, January 20th, 2005.
All right.
It was toward the end of his speech. He had been defending his foreign policy in general and his invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan in particular. And he said this. He said, "When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope which is meant to be fulfilled." Now, I came out of my chair because ancient order of the ages is identical to the Novus Ordo Seclorum on the back of our dollar bill.
Okay, well, the question we have to ask is, who wrote the speech and why did they put that in there?
Well, President Bush was, I'm not sure which speechwriter wrote it, but he was saying that his foreign policy is just trying to fulfill this ancient hope, this new order of the ages. Now,
No, wait, hold on, David, just a minute. You're a compassionate man. You're a creative man. You're a filmmaker. You're an American citizen. What Bush and Cheney have accomplished on their watch is nothing less than the death and the irradiation of literally the entire planet with depleted uranium. We've killed God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people, including our own people who are at Iraq who are going to come home and die. And we know about depleted, and I don't mean to get off the track here, but we know about uranium weapons. We knew about them in 1943. So when Bush is talking about fulfilling this manifest destiny, as it were, does it include the slaughter, carnage, rape, and pillage of many portions of this planet, including our own children?
Of course.
It's bizarre.
Of course.
All right.
If you bear with me for a minute, I'll bring you to that point.
I know you will, and I'm just kind of setting the stage for this. All right.
David, I will answer that question, my friend.
All right. David Bay. Hold on. Yeah, David Bay is my guest. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, The New Atlantis. This is a real look at history, the likes of which you will not see anywhere else. And it's a very handsomely produced, beautifully photographed DVD, and we'll tell you how to get it in a little bit. Okay, and right back with David Bay. All right, David, you're on the spot here. George Bush, visionary, or is George Bush a hideous nightmare?
Well, you'll find it in the next 20 minutes as I unfold this.
Right.
You'll find how Bacon's benign plan turned hideous.
Say that again?
You will find how Bacon's benign plan turned hideous.
All right.
Okay?
I can't wait.
All right, so let's get started at the beginning.
Never did like Bacon anyway. I thought the guy was a little shady, but that's all right.
Well, he was a foreign policy advisor to Queen Elizabeth I. He was a top policy advisor to King James.
He was
the keeper of the Lord's seal.
He was the Dick Cheney of Victorian England.
Well, anyway, he and John Dee in the early 1580s were the leaders of European and British Rosicrucianism, and Rosicrucianism was a mystic Christianity, and they felt their guiding spirits were telling them that the North American colonies must be established as a new Atlantis. That would gradually lead the world into the New World Order, into the New Order of the Ages, which by definition is a global government, a global economy, and a global religion. Now, Queen Elizabeth was also a devout Rosicrucian, and she put the power of the crown very secretly but very powerfully behind this plan. And basically the plan just said, you know, that England was to do everything in her power to ensure that a most powerful nation would arise out of the North American colonies. Now that's what they were in 1580, 1590. You know, they were just North American continent. So they began to lay concrete plans to spin America off as an independent nation. Bacon had some incredible revelations, incredible visions. He foresaw that this nation would become the most powerful nation on earth, that her economy would be unprecedented, that her military might would be unprecedented,
and
her
power. He wrote about these things?
Yeah, there's a book that was published in 1629, called The New Atlantis, and you can buy it in a number of places, you know, a number of bookstores.
And that's where he made these pronouncements.
Yes, and he even foresaw a nation that had skyscrapers, I mean, tall, tall buildings.
Well, they didn't have them back then, yeah.
He saw that this nation would have engines that flew in the air and engines that traveled under the ocean. I mean, his visions were incredible.
All right, now tell me more about these visions. Was the guy psychic? Was he a remote viewer? Was he taken by hallucinogenics?
He regularly communed with a guiding spirit, and this spirit, you know, told him these things, and it was just incredible the accuracy of some of his visions. And he envisioned that this country would arise out of the North American colonies, mm-hmm. speak the English language, mm-hmm. but not be controlled by England.
He missed that part.
Huh?
He missed that part, but we're okay.
Well, you know, except for the money, maybe we are.
That's,
you know,
right.
At least officially, we were spun off from England.
Yeah.
And this nation, over a period of 400 or 500 years, would gradually move the world into all the nations of the world, mm-hmm. into this global system, and Bacon and Queen Elizabeth felt that this would be a totally benign plan. They felt that mankind was inherently good, and whatever evil we had could be educated or trained out of you. And so Bacon launched on, he was the man who was responsible for the explosion of scientific advancement throughout the 18 and 1900s, because he set the stage of careful observation, writing down your observations, testing, experimentation.
He was the forerunner of today's what we call the scientific protocols.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And he felt that science and learning would drive the evil out of man. Man would become inherently better and better as the eons of time progressed, as the generations of time progressed. Now, our founding fathers, in the mid 1700s, mm-hmm. were ready to implement his vision exactly, and they I don't know whether they voted him in or whatever, but suddenly Benjamin Franklin was the key liaison between the British government, mm-hmm. but the British officials, mm-hmm. and the rest of the founding fathers, making sure that America was founded exactly as the Baconian plan foresaw, and that's why we see Benjamin Franklin suddenly appearing at the Hellfire Club in 1758, and he mm-hmm. made several trips there. Now the Hellfire, Benjamin Franklin is a enigmatic character. He was a brilliant statesman, no doubt. He was a global strategist par excellence, but he was also a playboy. Ben Franklin was a playboy. He loved the women, absolutely. In fact, I had a history professor in college ruminate one day whether the reason that Benjamin Franklin was on the $100 bill was that because that was the number of children he had fathered.
Well, I've heard a few sordid rumors about Ben before, but...
He was quite a character, this Ben. So going to the Hellfire Club is something that he would not object to doing.
All right, now, let's hear more about that. Hold on, we've got to do a little business here. Come right back with David Bay. I want to know more about this Hellfire Club. I wonder what their motto was. Well, maybe we'll find out. Be right back. Okay, right back with David Bay. All right, the Hellfire Club. Either pay your dues.
They had two mottos.
Wait, all right, I want to hear this.
The Hellfire Club had two mottos. The first one is, what goes on here stays here. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
That's the Las Vegas motto.
Yeah.
What goes on here stays here. And the Hellfire Club was a was a club of debauchery for the British nobility.
Ah.
If you were a member of the British nobility and you wanted to get stone drunk and not have anybody find out about it, then you went to the Hellfire Club. If you wanted to take drugs, you went to the Hellfire Club. Nobody would know. If you wanted, you know, a sexual orgy, you would go to the Hellfire Club. And so it,
Jeez, it sounds, you know, like Washington D.C.
Well, if Sir Francis Dashwood built the Hellfire Club as a gentleman's club, which is today what we call a strip joint. So it really has had a lasting impact on America.
But I got to bring it back. I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. No, no pun intended. But these guys that are playing these, let's just bring the Hellfire Club back. Forget the Skull and Bones. Come on, let's just.
Well, I tell you, the world would be better off. But anyway, the other motto was "Do what thou will is the whole of the law."
Do what thou will is
the whole of the law.
What does that mean?
Well, that's witchcraft.
There's no accountability. Nothing.
It was picked up by. No, it says what it means is there's no rules.
That's what it says.
Whatever you want to do.
No accountability. Sounds like the new curriculum in most American public schools.
There you go. It was picked up a big time and made popular by Aleister Crowley, and then the rock and roll movement. That is one of their major mottos. Do what thou will is the whole of the law.
Yeah, if it feels good, do it. That's a
there
contemporary.
You go. That's another part. That's another way to say it. But Benjamin Franklin, no doubt, took advantage when he was in London of the fleshly pleasures of this place. But that's not all the reason he was there. That probably isn't even the main reason he was there. British intelligence, which was controlled by Masons and still is,
right?
They were meeting their agents in the back rooms and the subterranean rooms of the Hellfire Club. It was a perfect cover for them to meet their agents. And you see, Ben Franklin was an agent of British intelligence. They gave him two code names. The first one was a number, number 72. The other code name they gave him was Moses. Now, when I found this out, I went, wow, Moses.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's pretty wild. Remember the Walt Disney cartoon, Ben and Me? Did you ever see it?
No, I don't.
Oh, you got to go rent that.
Ben and Me.
It's all about Ben Franklin and a little mouse who allegedly was the one who came up with all the inventions, and Ben stole them from the mouse.
Oh, is that right?
It's very cute. Ben and Me.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, what is it? There are some rumors. Was it about Ben Franklin that allegedly his home was built on various important geological and ley line things, and that there were supposedly bodies found in his basement?
I've read about the bodies. I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly, Philadelphia is certainly built on a ley line. That's why the five cities in America line up with each other and with Stonehenge. They're on a ley line.
All right.
But you're pulling me away from Hellfire Club.
I
want to go back. Okay. When I thought about the biblical Moses, it made sense to call old Ben Moses. And this is what British intelligence was calling him. You see, the biblical Moses led the children of Israel, led the people of Israel out from under the bondage of Egypt. Out from under the thumb of the Pharaoh.
All right.
And that, according to the Baconian plan, it was now time to lead America out from under British control. Franklin was the more modern day Moses that was to lead the Americans out from under the thumb of King George.
You know what's funny about Franklin? I got to toss this in there. Whenever you think of Ben Franklin, you think of an old man. He wasn't always old.
Oh, no.
What did he do when he was young?
He played around.
That's why you got those 100 kids, right?
And he worked on founding America.
And this
1758 was a more, you know, was a younger Ben Franklin. But you see, we quote two British authors, modern-day authors, in each of their books, they recount the historical story of how Ben Franklin kept meeting with the with these Masons that were, you know, like Dashwood. Some were members of the Parliament. Some were members of George's cabinet. Some were but the key leaders were the Masons who were in charge of British intelligence. And these two British authors ask the rhetorical question: was Ben Franklin a British agent? Now, to me, and to others who have read this statement, this question, that seems to imply that Ben Franklin was somehow out to betray the principles of the American Revolution. That is in no way the case. If there was betrayal, and if there was, it was on the part of the Masons who were members of Parliament, and certainly the Masons who were in charge of British intelligence, who were sold out to the Baconian plan, even if that meant betraying their current monarch, King George. And you see, that's exactly what it was. That's why George, you know, historians will tell you that George got some really bad advice along the way. He continually did things that ticked off the Americans rather than pacify them. And this was the bad advice he was getting. But you see, this is what we need to understand when we're talking about secret societies such as Skull and Bones, because Skull and Bones is Masonically based. It's a black magic secret society, yeah. Masonically based. Okay, right. All along, every member, every dedicated member of Freemasonry, especially Skull and Bones, they're dedicated to a global agenda. They're not so much patriots as they are globalists. And if it comes to, if they have to do something that is going to hurt their own country, they won't hesitate to do it if they believe it will advance the global agenda. And that's something we really need to understand in America today. We should scream bloody murder that we have all the Masons and all the Skull and Bones people in power.
Well, it's no surprise they promote their own.
They will sell out their country if it's necessary in order to achieve.
Already done, my friend. Already done. I agree. The treason and traitors that this country is now inundated with is terminal.
And then in the next segment, I'll tell you how this ties into.
Very good.
To Bush.
All right. Let's rekindle the Hellfire Club. Chapter. Every city should have a chapter. All Republicans and Democrats should join together. All right. Right back here with David Bay, and his DVD is The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. This is really an eye-opener, folks. This is awesome. Back in a few. Okay, and we're right back with David Bay, executive producer of really one of the most important documentaries, historically speaking, that probably will be around for quite some time. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. This is the real story now. You've done some masterful research on this and gotten some superb interviews. That's why I guess you're being received so well everywhere you go. You're entering this in more film festivals coming up?
Yeah, submitted in 18 film festivals. The first film festival we submitted to two was the New York Film Festival, which is starting tomorrow. That's why I'm in New York City. And the preliminary committee gave us a 4+ rating, where the rating is from 1 to 4, with 4 being the highest.
Wow!
And it gave us an incredible rating. They love the technical aspects of it, and they said that our content was as good as or better than the History Channel.
Well,
so we are well pleased.
It's a knockout. Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we are well pleased. It's It's 12 years in the making, and we put some money behind it.
12
and
years.
I think it all shows.
12 years.
Yeah, 12 years of research. Anyway, we're getting back. We need to get back to tie this thing all together. The Baconian plan, like I said before, was benign. He felt that mankind was good, and that the evil could be trained out of him, educated out of him through science and learning. He felt that every generation would achieve their collective consciousness would be slightly higher than the previous generation. And at one point, maybe 400 years down the road, 400 years after the North American colonies was established as the new Atlantis nation, that during one generation, the entire world would undergo a paradigm shift, they call it, in collective consciousness. They would just jump upward in collective consciousness, and they would all realize the godhood within them, and a Masonic Christ, Messiah figure, would arise to lead them into a 1,000-year, peace. And that was his plan. He felt it would all evolve naturally as a result of normal human collective consciousness evolution. However, and our founding fathers signed on to that benign plan. However, on May 1, 1776, Mayor Amschel Bauer and Adam Weishaupt founded the Masters of the Illuminati. Mayor Amschel Bauer later changed his name to Rothschild.
Certainly
he
did.
Bankrolled Adam Weishaupt.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Weishaupt said to the Baconians, "You're crazy if you think all of this can be achieved naturally, peacefully, but not benignly." He said it can never be achieved that way. If it's going to be achieved, it has to be through bloodshed, assassinations, war, and world war.
Yeah, real nice. I'm sure Bacon really ate that up.
Well, he was in his grave. He was a moldering in the grave at that point.
Yeah.
But it took only 13 years, from 1776 to 1789, for the Weishaupt disciples to take over all European lodges and most British.
That quick?
That quick.
Wow.
And the American fathers, founding fathers, almost unanimously stood against this Weishaupt brand, this fire brand,
right,
of the Baconian plan.
Uh-huh.
And they kept Weishaupt and his people out of the American Freemason lodges until they passed away. But by 1820...
Huh. They fought and held the line, didn't they?
They did. They really did. In fact, George Washington began to rail against the diabolical tenets, quote-unquote, of Weishaupt's philosophy.
Well, they didn't call it Zionism back then, but that's what it's come to be called more often than not today.
Well, as the plan progressed, the influence of Mayor Amschel Bauer, or Rothschild, as he later came to be known,
right,
that became more and more pronounced. And, he was Jewish, and by the 1890s, Rothschild was completely bankrolling the Zionist movement.
Well, that's what it was, a geopolitical world domination movement bankrolled by the Rothschilds.
Right.
That's
what it became. But it was Weishaupt and Rothschild stole the Baconian plan.
So they threw Bacon to the chickens, right? And
they
took his plan
and they said, a world government, economy, religion is a good thing, but we're going to have to achieve it by war and world war. And then Albert Pike, who was Weishaupt to the core, and he was the he was the leader of North American Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
He had a vision of three world wars, and it's odd, two of them two of them have come true just as he saw,
right,
and the third one was supposed to be between Israel and between Israel and her Arab neighbors. That is getting set to go. So it's obvious that since
was he a prophet, or did he just read the big game plan as it was written?
He was, again, it was a vision from his familiar spirit. But he was a Vsauce disciple through and through, as all of Freemasonry was, especially after the Civil War. And so it's obvious.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's obvious that the history of the 20th century is a history of world leaders carrying out the Vsauce plan.
Yep.
And that's where President Bush is today. President Bush is another in a long line of Vsauce disciples where he is using the force of American arms to try to close the gap, so to speak, and bring these last nations that are resisting this New World Order plan into the fold, even if it means destroying them, so the world will go on without them.
Well, that's what's happening.
That's what's happening. And you talk about depleted uranium, and very few people know about that in America, and I really commend you for being on top of it.
No, I've been from the beginning with several other wonderful people.
You know, I think I got it from Rents a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There's an article that showed that the depleted uranium poisoning was now reaching 857 million people in the Middle East.
Correct. Well, it's gone all around the world.
And we've rotated a million men.
Yeah.
In and out of those theaters.
Well, the men and women coming back, most of them are going to die.
That's right.
Soon,
about 90% of them will die.
Absolutely.
This is the Vsauce twist to a plan from Bacon that was really pretty benign.
They don't care. They don't care about human life, Rothschild. They don't care. That's what this whole war thing is about. Profiteering.
Well, no, in fact, the plan calls for a two-thirds reduction in world population very quickly.
Well, we know that. That's right.
It all goes back to the 1580s in Sir Francis Bacon, and I think it's a great historical story, don't you?
Oh, it's the biggest story of all, and only only someone like you could have done this, and I lament the fact that our young people do not read and study history, and in many cases it's because the teachers don't know how to present it. If they honestly just sat down in the classroom and looked at your documentary, imagine the discussions. Imagine what would happen.
I remember reading a book written by C.F. Potter in 1930. Now, he was an American educator, on the par with and cooperated with Dewey, the Dewey Decimal System guy.
Right.
And he said, if we hope to achieve the world we envision, which, of course, is the New World Order, we must get control of the American school system. He said, students today graduate, now this is 1930, graduate thinking reading too widely, reading too much, and thinking too critically. He says, we can't have that. We must get control of the American school system. And since then, since World War II especially, textbooks have been dumbed down.
Oh, of course.
And history, not only in math, not only in science, history.
Now, they're creating dysfunctional adults here for a reason.
They're creating adults that look to the federal government as the ultimate provider of everything and as a good friend.
They're all victims, and they all want the handout. Anyway, it's sickening. I can't get away. You got to let me do this.
What?
So they threw Rothschild's and they threw Bacon's doctrine to the chickens, right? And that's how we ended up with bacon and eggs.
Oh, no! That was terrible.
I'm sorry.
What a terrible joke. Funny, but funny.
It's horrible.
Anyway, before we end, I'd like to tell people where they can get this documentary.
Please do.
The official website of Antiquities Research Films is called arfilms.org. That's arfilms.org. Now, we've only had this out a few weeks, so we are continuing the rollout on retail. Amazon.com just picked it up this week, and their retail is, we match their retail, and then we will soon have it in retailers throughout this country. But right now, Amazon.com is the major nationwide one, but people can go to arfilms.org and get it for the same price.
Click on David Bay's name at rents.com and go right to arfilms.org. Good luck in New York, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You've entered something into this festival and probably most of the others that stands so utterly alone and towering over many of the other documentaries. I can't imagine anything else in your line of competition.
They have given Secret Mysteries the largest theater of all the theaters that they're providing, you know, that they're showing the other films in. So we think that they must like it a lot.
Bravo. Bravo to you, David. Thank you. Let's talk again in a few months, all right?
Oh, I'd like that, yes.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night. David Bay. This is a really a great documentary. It's wonderful. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, The New Atlantis. Okay, we'll pause and be back.